The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome in, everybody. It's time for the show. You know it. You love it. You can't live without it. The Kiefer and Curry Show coming your way on TKR. And we always have some compelling subjects. At least Tony and I think they're compelling. We hope you share our enthusiasm. This week, Tony, football season now a couple weeks in. We're already underway. But the same old things that I always watch in these games that I think to myself, man, if they just put me in charge, I could fix this. I've got a couple of those. So I want to appoint Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry, co-commissioners, and even more. We are the czars of football for the next 30 minutes.
I like it.
And I want to put in all of our input of how to make the college and pro game, football in general, a better sport to watch, enjoy, etc. And what are your thoughts leading into that? And what are your thoughts so far on this football season?
Let's start right now with no more mascot commercials. I can't do mascot commercials. Oh, if I'm the czar of college football, if I have to see another commercial where a guy opens an elevator door and there's the Arizona State mascot saying going down, and it's so funny. Marmaduke was only funny for about 3 years until you realize that the big dog was always big dog jokes. It's not funny anymore. So if we're going to have NIL and transfer portals, we can make sure that we have no more mascots in commercials. I don't even like, listen, I was Scooby-Doo. Listen, see, I can even do the Scooby-Doo.
Hey, that's perfect.
Thank you very much. I was Scooby-Doo at Paramount Parks. You know why I was a mascot? Because I was a loser. I was insecure. I couldn't get girls. And so I'd put this mask on. I put this suit on and it totally turned me into someone that I was not. I'm not saying that all mascots like Big Al and Albie, I'm not saying that, but I am saying when it comes to television commercials, no more television commercials with mascots. They're not funny anymore. It's enough, enough. That would be the first change I got. Besides that, football season going pretty good, but I got a ton of these, so we got to move, baby. We got to move.
Okay,
we got
good,
a lot of
good,
changes.
Because real quick, I just have to say the only mascot commercial I ever loved was when the late great Steve, now I forgot his last name, the Crocodile Hunter, was on an ESPN spot. And remember, they were coming, they're giving him a tour of the studio, and when the elevator door opened, there was the Florida Gator, was about 8 feet tall. And he goes, crikey, look at the size of that thing. And he wrestled him to the ground. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah.
So anyway, so let's move on. Here is where I'd like to start with this, Tony. I have had a pet peeve in football for a number of years because I think probably the most significant game-changing call falls upon the shoulders of what would be considered of the group of officials, maybe one of the more minor officials on the field, and that's the back judge.
Mm-hmm.
And the back judge is the guy that drops the laundry for pass interference. Mm-hmm. Now, college and pro, and stay with me here because this is my technical explanation. College and pro have completely different rules on pass interference, and both of them are wrong. Let me explain. In college football, you drop back, your receiver's running a deep route, you throw it up to him, the defensive back realizes he's hopelessly beat, so he can just reach out and push the receiver down or even physically tackle him to the ground, and it is a 15-yard penalty. So, of course, if you're hopelessly beat for a touchdown, that's an easy bailout, and it's not a severe enough penalty for that offense. On the other hand, Tony, in pro football in the NFL, you drop back, you chunk the bomb, a defensive back makes incidental contact with the receiver 50 yards down the field. It's a spot foul. It's a 50-yard penalty. It's way too severe. It's like getting 15 to 20 years for jaywalking. It changes so many games. And I know you can think back to games you watch when they throw it down and there's interference in the end zone, they put it at the 1 yard line. It's absurd. It's way too punitive. So here's my solution. If I was czar of football, in college football, in pro football, I would have the exact same rule. And the rule is already been applied in another area. In roughing the kicker or running into the kicker situations, the determination is made whether it's intentionally physical or over the top physical with threat to the kicker's welfare, or if they just happen to run into him. One's a 15-yard penalty and an automatic first down, of course. The other is just a five-yard penalty. And if it's not enough for a first down, that it's still fourth down. So that judgment call on a foul has already been implemented in kicking. Why not in interference? Why not have two different levels of interference penalties? If you're way downfield and it's incidental contact and the defensive back maybe gets there a second too early, but the receiver still has a fair chance to catch the ball, let's make that just a running into the receiver penalty, as opposed to a blatant foul down the field where you tackle or completely alter a receiver's chance to catch it. That becomes the blatant spot foul. So one needs to be a 10-yard penalty. The other one needs to be the spot foul. But I know that putting that decision in the hands of officials, but mm-hmm. you can even go to replay and let them determine the severity of the foul. And I think that's a change that should be made in the game, because it drives me insane in college football where a guy saves a touchdown and only gets penalized 15 yards. But in the pros, you know, you get the most severe penalty possible short of the guillotine. So and it changes games every single week.
I've got it down on penalties on my paper right here. Pass interference is a spot foul in college football. I totally agree with you in the fact that it should be longer than 15 yards, because you can't just tackle a guy if you know you're beat, and a lot of guys get beat. The problem with actually doing two different things, first, again, it is subjective. I don't want to stop the game anymore. It's the games are starting to get to the point where sitting in the stands, it goes by pretty quick when you're watching a football game on television, because you can go up and take a leak or grab a sandwich during a 2-minute timeout. But when you're actually sitting in the stands, it's starting to get arduous. It's starting to get really difficult to watch college football games because of TV. And now, of course, they got the clock on the sticks where you actually are watching. It's a 3-minute timeout, which really makes it kind of difficult to watch football. I do like your changes for sure. The thing is, in pro ball, and I'm not debating you on this, there just aren't that many shots downfield anymore that pay dividends. And the thing that's crazy is I'm watching the game the other day with Russell Wilson. Of course, he hits the bomb, and of course, they don't get the 2-point conversion to tie the ball game up. There's all kinds of pass interference going on in Hail Marys, and they never call it.
Oh,
there's always something, you know. So, and the cornerbacks in the league, certainly in the National Football League, are so stinking good now that I'm not sure that a spot foul is not where it should be. Because I think last year they had somewhere between one. I think I was pulling up some numbers when I actually did this. There's on average 1.2 pass interference calls per ball game. So I don't think it's a major issue in professional football, but I will say in college, I hate the fact that it's only 15 yards for a pass interference. And I realize these kids aren't as good as the pro level, but I totally agree with you. On the same stop, I'm saying on kickoffs and punts, no more blocking in the back. I'm so sick of blocking in the back. That's another back judge call. Every single time a guy gets a good run back, it's coming back almost every single time. And you probably see six or seven of those every single weekend. And most of the times it's not even close to the play. I think that's another thing that you can make a subjective call. And again, I love instant replay for what it stands for. And I understand that if it changes the call in a game and it changes the winner, I totally get that. But when you're in one of these situations where no one's challenging the call, no one's saying he didn't think he didn't catch the football, but all of a sudden someone upstairs beeps into New York and says, listen, we have to take a look at this. That drives me crazy. When neither team cares what happened to the play. And it could be like a three-yard out, and all of a sudden they're stopping the whole game because someone up in New York chimed in and said, I'm not sure that looked like it hit the ground. Well, no one's even questioning it. Just let it go. Let it go. We did it in Major League Baseball for years. Just let it go. You know, it just doesn't add to the fluidity of the football game, and it makes it really difficult to watch if you particularly stance. But I like that as ideas. I'm gonna go next again, because we got this 12-team playoff starting next season. We got conference realignment all over the place. It's kind of like NASCAR. It used to be, I could tell you exactly who everyone's sponsor was in NASCAR about 10 years ago. Now I have no clue. People are changing teams left and right. It's making it really, I don't want to watch anymore because I'm a loyalist and I like to watch the DuPont car, or I used to like the Bud Light car, or I used to like the Maxwell car. And now I don't know who's driving for who, and I don't know what team they're going to. So everyone's all over the place. It's really difficult if you ask somebody on the street who's like a peripheral or just a casual college football fan, do you know where BYU is playing this year? What conference? And they'll go, I have no idea. That sucks. That's not good for the sport. They're independent, by the way. So I'm saying go 16 team leagues, not four, not five, go 8-16 team leagues. That leaves us 128 teams. Right now, we currently have 138. We're not asking anybody to go back to D2 or D3 college football if you're D1. If you want to become an independent, that's fine, but you don't get the automatic bid. Go 8-16 team leagues. Best team from each league gets a spot. So that's eight, and they have four wild cards. You got your 12 team playoff, and make the teams commit to the leagues they're going to go to instead of things slipping around. I don't think we're even remotely close to being done with that, certainly with the Pac-4 and what's going out there. Do that. And then again, if you want to go independent like Notre Dame, that's fine, but you don't get the automatic bid. That would be another change I'd make.
I like that. From an organizational standpoint, I don't know if that's going to be possible because of the last point you just made, make a commitment. That seems to be a difficult thing for players.
Hey, we're dreaming here, right? We're dreaming here, right? We're dreaming. Yeah, I'm dreaming.
Yeah, I mean, who makes a commitment? Good grief, marriage. It's a long list of things that make that a flawed concept. But I think from a you said, an understanding of where teams are and what they're doing. You've got BYU was a great example. Now they've recently been in the Mountain West, jumped out of that. And now they are actually a new team in the Big 12 this year. So, you never know. So a great example. I want to go right back to to my second thing. And it's along the lines of what you talked about. Speaking of differences in the college and pro game, that they're both bad. The replay system that you mentioned, I like the fact that we have a mechanism to get calls right. I hate the fact that it, like you mentioned, because I fully support your get rid of the trivial calls. The blocks in the back, a lot of times they're on the different side of the field, mm-hmm. and they happen when a player veers off from his lane because let's say you're covering on the left side and the return guy is going up the right side. So when the player turns to run toward the play and abandon his lane, that's a lot of times when the contact happens. So that guy at that point is about 45 yards away from the play, and the flag comes in, and that's usually what brings that back. But my point, so I support your idea. My idea on replay is in college, we've got this ridiculous system where every play is under review. But the problem with that is you've got a dinosaur who used to be an on-field official that's now too fat and too old to do that job. And they give good old boy network assignments to a guy to be the replay official in the booth at college football games. And the guy in the booth, I think, Tony, you're talking about taking a leak or making a sandwich. I think that guy is doing that a lot of the
who
game.
Is it? Who is this guy in the booth? I don't know who this guy in the booth is. We never knew who the guy in the booth is.
Well, they say, old Arch Jones is the replay official today. And if you look up Arch Jones, he was, on the field for the band on the field Stanford Cal game. It's just about that bad. But the point is, they're supposed to be scrutinizing every play in college football. And you see a play that's just heinous, and the other team runs up to the line and tries to get the snap off. And a lot of times they succeed in college football. There's no mechanism, because if the guy in the booth doesn't react right away, now there's a backup system, of course. The guy in the booth immediately consults with, like in the SEC, of course, right downtown Birmingham here, the SEC gurus are crowded around their screen. So they make the call anyway. In college football, get rid of the guy in the booth at the stadium. He's useless. He does nothing except for miss opportunities to fix grievous errors. And in the pros, it's just the opposite. In the pros, I don't know if you saw any of the Patriots-Dolphins game Sunday night, but Bill Belichick wanted to challenge a play. He's got his flag taped to his leg somehow, mm-hmm. or stuffed in his sock, and he's trying to roll up his pant leg to get hold of his flag. which looks like the dish rag I've got in my sink. It doesn't even look like them. I mean, it's absurd. Why not just give them a signal flare or something technologically more spectacular than throwing a dish towel on the field that they can't even access? The coaches have to initiate the replay, except for scoring plays and turnovers. And it's a stupid system, too. I just don't understand why we can't have a uniform way. You've got all the technology back at the station, at the headquarters of the respective leagues. And, of course, in the NFL, they don't have a replay guy. They go right to the headquarters for their consultation. So, you know, that's fine. But I'm even at the point, Tony, where I'm and I know people are going to bristle at this suggestion. The officials on the field are so bad and are so arbitrary with their calls. Why not use technology and zoom in on certain groups of players, have guys back at the headquarters watching certain players and plays from all kinds of different angles? And, you know, I'm almost to the point where the only guy you need on the field is the guy where the to tell where to spot the ball, because if the game's going to be officiated from headquarters, then why even bother to have the zebras running around getting in the way?
It's one thing Major League Baseball has done a fantastic job. When they have instant replay, man, it's about 30 seconds. They've gotten so good at it. And they're right. And that's the other thing, is I put a time limit on replays. I mean, there is no reason. If you can't tell after 2 minutes, then you need to make a call. I want to see that clock ticking on those guys. You can look at it 15 different ways. But after 2 minutes, you got a guy in the booth, you got a guy in New York, you got three guys down the field, they're all talking to each other. And if you can't figure something out in 2 minutes, then you need to move it on. Something else, about 4 years ago, I think it was 4 years ago, I'm sitting there getting ready for the Iron Bowl, and I got the food out. I got 16 people over at the house. I'm getting ready for the Iron Bowl, and I can't believe it. And all of a sudden, my cable goes out. And I'm like, and it was because I didn't pay my bill. So there you go. That one was on me. But I want to adopt a brand new law where major TV and cable providers can't strike or hold up contracts during football season like they did this year. That sucked.
Oh,
it was unbelievable. And it happened on football Saturday. Don't tell me they don't know what they're doing. Don't tell me ESPN and Spectrum Cable knew exactly what they were doing. They knew it was going to happen on football Saturday. I was getting First Take, and I was getting Get Up, and I was getting all the shitty shows that ESPN shows. But then when I really wanted to watch it on College Football Saturday, they turned it off because they didn't have a contract with Spectrum.
Excuse my French.
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And of course, it went for 2 weeks. By the way, it helped our brand new show called The Starting Lineup on ABC 3340, which of course was the only show you could watch. We love that. The Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry show. It was the only show to watch the first couple of weeks. And it's still the only show to watch on ABC 3340, as I shamelessly plug us again on Saturday mornings from 10:30 to 11. But I'm telling you, man, I was absolutely lost. Not only that, but it took away my Discover channel. It took away my Smithsonian channel. It even took away my Bluey. I couldn't watch my Bluey for a while. I was like, if I can't watch Bluey, man, what am I doing when I can't watch Bluey? So, yeah. So, I mean, I would make a deal saying, listen, all contracts must be done before the prior college football season, week zero. It needs to be, make sure that I can watch my college football, because it is a religious thing. It is super important that we have our college football, and I'll never let it happen again. I'm not doing it.
Well, when your Spectrum bill comes, I'm sure they're going to give us a nice allowance for all the programming we missed, because they couldn't make it.
No, they offered me a free subscription to FUBU, and I'm like, I'm going to FUBU you.
I can
only imagine what FUBU stands for, by the way. You can F you too. I'm not doing FUBU. Thank you very much.
FUBU you, Spectrum. Yeah. Thanks, but no thanks. But, you know, that's one of those deals where both those parties continue to roll along, collect their revenue, and screw the patrons. Nobody cared, because it annoyed me as much to get these passionate emails from Spectrum telling me how I could write and call Disney and complain about their greediness.
Yeah.
When I'm going, you guys are greedy bastards right back, because You're not watching.
Why don't you write the letter? You figure it out. What am I writing letters for?
I blame both of them absolutely equally. If they can't strike a deal and they penalize football fans, I don't have any use for either one of them. So anyway, let me get to my last one here. And again, all mine are kind of semi-related. Talked about replay, talked about technology. Tony, I'm sorry. I'm a man that evolves with the times and understands that things change. But you know, back when Slingin' Sammy Ball and Bronco Nagurski were the superstars of the gridiron back in like the 1930s and 40s, they had a methodology of measuring first downs and the very fundamentally important dynamic of spotting the ball in the proper place at the end of the play. And that procedure now, almost 100 years later, exactly the same. You've got a fat guy 25 yards away, the side judge, and I'm abusing all these minor officials. My apologies. It's nothing personal. But the side judge is watching like a hawk from about 20 yards to the side. And when the play stops, he determines by where the guy's knee is and where the ball is at the time proportionally where the spot should be. Now, he has to come waddling in from that far away to come and retrieve the ball with his eagle eyes firmly planted on the spot on the field, take the ball and place it down. But to start that process, my favorite thing, the first thing he does, Tony, like he's reached the summit of Mount Everest, he sticks his toe in the ground to mark the spot. And then somebody tosses him the ball and he lays it down. Now, that might sound like a fine system, but we live in an age of GPS and laser technology and amazing microchips that can do almost any kind of function on Earth. Are you telling me there's not a better technological way? Because I didn't even mention, as the guy waddles in from the sidelines, it's not like he can take a direct beeline to where he wants to go. Most of the time, he has to like run a loop around a bunch of guys on the ground, or some big ugly who's in his way. So by the time he arrives at the spot, the chances are he doesn't have the right spot. And you see this all the time. Coaches are challenging the spot. There's plays held up, another delay. If we had technology, would all of that be necessary? Uh-huh. And wouldn't we have? Can't we have something that determines if they've gotten 10 yards from where the laser marked the ball to start the sequence to where they have to get where they can just flip a switch and they see the ball was short of the line of the spot to gain for a first down? I can't imagine there's not a better way to do this with technology than going back to Slingin' Sammy Ball days.
If you can tell whether a ball's in or out in tennis, they should be able to figure out some way to figure out whether you get a first down. You ought to put a chip in the ball or something at the tip of the ball. Yeah. I'm not sure. That's why it's so important. And I went to the Clemson game this past weekend and I had the over 51, by the way. It was sitting there at 47 and thinking, I'm not going to get this ball game. And of course, they score and they called it a score and he didn't score. But I knew that they were not going to be able to go back to replay and look because the ball was hidden. If they had a chip in that thing and you could obviously see where the end line was, the touchdown line, you would have known it wasn't any good. I totally agree. With you. You would think that it is so primitive that the fact that we still have the chain gang, which is amazing to me. What I see when it's a first to a close down, close to first down, I see a guy on one side, he's on the 13, the guy on the near side is on the 14, and then they just run out and they meet in the middle and put it at the 13 and a half. I'm like, okay, if that's going to work for you.
And here's what's comical in college football now. They have the new system where they used to hold up the play on a first down so the fat guys could waddle down the field with their respective poles with 30 feet of chain and get set back up. Now they don't do that. So these guys, like the Keystone Cops, because the clock continues to run, they don't give them that allowance. They're just on their own to go down there and figure out where to put the chain. It's so imprecise, Tony. It's just a joke.
Hey, at least they have digital numbers now on the sticks. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. We're really getting there. That's right.
They used to have to flip the numbers, man.
When my kids were playing like youth football, they were always trying to get dads to volunteer to be the chain gang. And I always went and hid behind the stands. I absolutely refused to be one of the losers holding the poles. And then they figured out I could talk. So I ended up being the announcer for all the games, which that was okay. But did not have any desire to ever be on the chain gang. literally or figuratively.
You watch a lot of college and professional football, and Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry, we do a lot of that. You see a lot of commercials for Viagra, knockoff pharmaceutical companies. You see a lot of insurance companies. And then you see commercials that run almost every single commercial for FanDuel, DraftKings, Bally's, MGM, Caesars. I like to see an unsubscription to the idea of official betting partners of the National Football League and college football. Listen, I made my first bet when I was 16 years old. I fell in love with it. I've been to Vegas over 75 times. I know you've been. I love going to Caesars. I love going to the Bow. I love playing blackjack. I love gambling on football games. I love all that. I get it. But I had to go through some growing pains through it. And I know there's a lot of young people that are getting involved in this because it all started off as what? Fantasy football. FanDuel and DraftKings was a fantasy football league. They knew exactly what they were doing. What they were doing is they were serving candy cigarettes to 12-year-olds and saying, no, it'll never be legal, but you can go ahead and smoke these. They smell, it tastes like the real thing. Now they're all getting old enough to start gambling, and I'm afraid we're going to have an epidemic of people losing their mortgages because they don't know how to play. You can't go to Vegas. They always say if you ever go to an ATM in Vegas, you don't need to be in Vegas. I've been there. It's the only machine that pays, by the way. So I would like to see an unsubscription. You know where the Super Bowl is this year? In Las Vegas. Now, the last time I went to Las Vegas was about 12 years ago. And at that time, you couldn't even bet on a UNLV basketball game at home.
That's right.
You could not bet on a UNLV basketball game at home. Now the Super Bowl is in Las Vegas. Everything's in Las Vegas. And listen, I'm just like you. I'm not going to get on my front porch and scream, get off my lawn. I'm a change with the times, guys, and this is great. I'm just saying be really, really careful. The lid is off the cookie jar, and there are a lot of tasty cookies in there, and we're telling people they can eat as many as they want. You're going to get fat as hell before too long, and that man's going to come calling. Don't give me this $5 bet gets you 200 free. It doesn't work that way. Go figure it out. If it sounds too good to be true, it's always too good to be true. I want people to have a good time. I want you to play your fantasy, and I want you to gamble. If you want to gamble and you get the disposable income to do that, that's great. But I think it sends a wrong message when the National Football League has an official betting partner. We even mentioned you can gamble on Reds games at Great American Ballpark. During the baseball game, you can now gamble on Major League Baseball games. Yeah, Pete Rose is in the Hall of Fame. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that change.
Story, you remember my story when I talked about that? I was at the Hall of Fame looking at a Pete Rose all-time hit. And this is in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose all-time hit king display with his uniform and his some bats and his number of hits. And I said, isn't this ironic? They won't enshrine Pete, but we've got a whole wall full of honoring him as the best hitter ever played the game. And this idiot next to me said out loud, because I wasn't even talking to him, he says, well, he bet on baseball. And I said, oh, baseball, the official partner of DraftKings. I said, how hypocritic is that? And he kind of stumbled away, and my friend said, that was way over his head, and that's the problem. You know, it is. It's so hypocritical. For years, that was the elephant in the room. I remember, Tony, we talked about this on a previous show, too. How controversial it was that Jimmy the Greek Snyder, one of the biggest odds makers in the country, was put on the CBS NFL Today crew. I mean, it was like scandalous that how dare they put a betting guy on. But you know what, Tony? Betting guys should be on the college football playoff committee because they have more data and more knowledge than any of the morons that man those seats now.
I agree with you.
You know, put some guys from the desert on because they're the true experts. If you're going to sell out completely to the gambling industry, go ahead and acknowledge them for what they are.
I love that. I love that. Seriously. I mean, they know the numbers better than anything else. And people are like, well, you know, just because a team's favored by 7, that doesn't mean what they're supposed to win by. Yeah, it is. I know they want even money on both sides. I get that. They set the line so you get even money on both sides. But that is the number they're supposed to win by. That's why we have that number. So people always sit there and say, well, they're just placing the number so they get even money on both sides. Well, why is the number changed then? It obviously doesn't work. So, yeah. So great stuff. Hey, Kip, you got any more?
Well, I was just going to say, Roger Goodell, if you're listening from the NFL, or Greg Sankey from the SEC, I'm not even going to mention the NCAA because they are an absolute joke. They're not in charge of anything. Somebody needs to remember how they implode those hotels in Vegas and bring them to the ground when they become obsolete. That's what needs to happen in Indianapolis to the NCAA. So, but anybody else who really has some authority in football, Hook us up. Tony and I are standing by. We're really busy guys, but we can take a few minutes and fix your sport.
Do it. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. This is the Kiefer and Curry Show. And again, join us coming up on Saturday morning, 10:30 to 11 o'clock on ABC 3340, the starting lineup with Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry. We're going to have Terry Quillian on there with a rant of the week. We'll have Case Kiefer on there with some other big plays. We're going to have some special guests come by. And of course, we got the legend doing his Tide forecast. I'm sure he's going to be a little more cranky again this week after that bowl game this past week. Yeah, he may blow a gasket. We may have to have some paramedics on hand when he does his rant this week. So we'll do it again on Saturday morning here. This is the Kiefer and Curry Show on Tony Curry Radio.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.